Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, March 15th, the year of our Lord, 2026. This is the fourth Sunday in Lent, and welcome to a transitional point in the life of the podcast. The podcast has been around since March of 2020, and I'm just feeling a real call to change it a bit, not too drastically, but to change it. And I wanted to have something new to present that is not the old thing. It's not quite yet the new thing. So I just wanted to welcome you, let you know that the reason you've seen a lot or heard many re-presentations of the podcast is that I'm trying to figure out a way to be able to continue to produce the podcast and fit it into my overall schedule. And I'm working on that. But enough of that. Just know that something new is coming. I am excited about it, and I hope you'll like it. But today we'll have our normal introduction with an opening prayer. Greta will read the scripture. I'm going to give you a devotional prompt for it. We'll close in prayer and know that we've kind of begun the process of changing things just a bit. And I hope they'll be refreshing for everybody. So with that, let's do the thing that is our custom and practice on the podcast, that we begin by taking a big, deep breath and holding on to it and giving thanks to God for each and every breath. It's a gift, the gift of life. Breathe in and savor it. And as you breathe, I encourage you to call to mind the people and places, the situations and the opportunities in your life that fill you with joy. And those may be people, places, situations, and opportunities that are happening right now. Those may be things from your past. It might be a combination of the two. But just take a time to really think about these things. Call them to mind. Imagine them. Allow them to reveal themselves in your mind's eye. And then I would like you to hold your hands out in front of you with your palms toward the ceiling, hands open wide. And just imagine holding all of these things in your hands. And then lifting them up to God in a gesture of thanksgiving, knowing that we hold all good things loosely, they're all gifts. And then opening your arms out wide, turning your face toward the sky, taking a big deep breath, and then as you exhale, just say, thanks be to God. And in this state of mind, in this posture, let's begin together in a time of worship and reflection.
Call to worship. Once we walked in darkness, unable to see the works of God, but Christ has come as the light of the world. Where there was blindness, Jesus brings sight. Where there was doubt, Christ brings faith. The light of Christ shines among us, revealing God's mercy and truth. Lord, open our eyes that we may see. Come, let us worship the one who restores our vision. We come to praise the light of the world. Amen.
Let's take a moment to pause and pray. Again, let's take another deep breath. Just hold it for a moment. And we pray, God, we call out to you in this moment together. And we give you thanks for the gift of this, your good and living word. And as we hear it, God, call our attention to the images, the words and the phrases, the characters in the story, and the sense that somehow this story is alive, happening right before our eyes. If it's a familiar story, God, help us to hear it with new ears, see it from a different angle, find kinship with one of the characters. Bless us in this time of reading and reflection so that we might truly hear your voice. We might be able to hear what you're telling us to do and find the strength to go out and do it. We ask this in your holy name and we say, Amen.
Today's scripture reading comes from John 9. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. "Rabbi," his disciples asked him, "why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins?" "It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins," Jesus answered. "This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. We must quickly carry out the tasks assigned us by the one who sent us. The night is coming, and then no one can work. But while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world." Then he spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. He told him, "Go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam." So the man went and washed and came back seeing. His neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other, "Isn't this the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said he was, and others said, "No, he just looks like him." But the beggar kept saying, "Yes, I am the same one." They asked, "Who healed you? What happened?" He told them, "The man they call Jesus made mud and spread it over my eyes and told me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself.' So I went and washed, and now I can see." "Where is he now?" they asked. "I don't know," he replied. Then they took the man who had been blind to the Pharisees, because it was on the Sabbath that Jesus had made the mud and healed him. The Pharisees asked the man all about it, so he told them, "He put the mud over my eyes, and when I washed it away, I could see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man Jesus is not from God, for he is working on the Sabbath." Others said, "But how could an ordinary sinner do such miraculous signs?" So there was a deep division of opinion among them. Then the Pharisees again questioned the man who had been blind and demanded, "What's your opinion about this man who healed you?" The man replied, "I think he must be a prophet." The Jewish leaders still refused to believe the man had been blind and could now see, so they called in his parents. They asked them, "Is this your son? Was he born blind? If so, how can he now see?" His parents replied, "We know this is our son and that he was born blind, but we don't know how he can see or who healed him. Ask him. He is old enough to speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who had announced that anyone saying Jesus was the Messiah would be expelled from the synagogue. That's why they said, "He is old enough. Ask him." So for the second time, they called in the man who had been blind and told him, "God should get the glory for this, because we know this man Jesus is a sinner." "I don't know whether he is a sinner," the man replied, "but I know this. I was blind, and now I can see." "But what did he do?" they asked. "How did he heal you?" "Look," the man exclaimed, "I told you once, didn't you listen? Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Then they cursed him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know God spoke to Moses, but we don't even know where this man comes from." "Why, that's very strange," the man replied. "He healed my eyes, and yet you don't know where he comes from? We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but he is ready to hear those who worship him and do his will. Ever since the world began, no one has been able to open the eyes of someone born blind. If this man were not from God, he couldn't have done it. You were born a total sinner, they answered. Are you trying to teach us? And they threw him out of the synagogue. When Jesus heard what had happened, he found the man and asked, Do you believe in the Son of Man? The man answered, Who is he, sir? I want to believe in him. You have seen him, Jesus said, and he is speaking to you. Yes, Lord, I believe, the man said, and he worshipped Jesus. Then Jesus told him, I entered this world to render judgment, to give sight to the blind, and to show those who think they see that they are blind. Some Pharisees who were standing nearby heard him and asked, Are you saying we're blind? If you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty, Jesus replied. But you remain guilty because you claim you can see.
Well, today's reading is the entirety of chapter 9 in John's Gospel. And so what I'd like to do as we're kind of in this transitional time in the podcast is just simply offer a brief devotional reflection that I've prepared. In this wonderful story of a man born blind, it seems everyone that we encounter in the story is certain that they understand the situation. And Jesus takes all of that in and focuses their attention on what's really happening. And it's all happening through him. The disciples want to know who sinned. The neighbors debate whether the healed man is really the same person. The religious leaders insist the healing cannot come from God because it happened on the wrong day and it was performed by the wrong person. And meanwhile, the man at the center of it all simply tells the truth as he experiences it. And for me, it's one of the most encouraging and inspiring testimonies in the whole gospel. He simply says, I was blind. Now I see. I don't know what all the fuss is about. I don't know why you high-minded, well-placed people are arguing so much. Look, my whole life long, I couldn't see. I encountered Jesus, and now my eyes are wide open. Why the discussion? Why the debate? Well, because spiritual sight does not always come from having the right explanations. Sometimes it begins when we let go of certainty long enough to know what God is doing right in front of us. In this story, the miracle is not only that a blind man receives sight, it is that those who thought they saw clearly begin to discover their own blindness. Jesus turns expectations upside down. The one who was once unable to see recognizes him, while those confident in their vision miss him entirely. The good news is that Christ still opens eyes. He meets us not when we have everything figured out, but when we are willing to see things differently, when we are willing to come to him in our uncertainty and in our brokenness and in our blindness. Lord, in your mercy, heal my vision. I don't have everything all figured out. I seem to have been afflicted and had this blind spot in my life for all of my life. To lean in prayer, to listen for his voice and to do what he says, to go and be sent to the pool and to wash and to emerge from that with a fresh vision that changes you in such a way that other people might not recognize you. it really is a passage of tremendous good news. Spend some more time with it today. Pay attention to all of the characters. Pay attention to how some people can let go of long-held truths and how others will hold fast and reject anything that threatens their view of the world, and how a simple person, blessed by Jesus, will light up and bow down and worship and follow. And so perhaps the prayer for the week is simple. Lord, show me my blind spots. There are things that I cannot see, ways you are moving that I do not recognize. So I humble myself before you, and in all faith and in all strength and courage, I ask you to anoint my eyes and send me to the pool so that I might come up from the water and be able to see the world, to see others the way you do. We pray that in faith and in the name of the one who heals. And we say, Amen. And so, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, let us do so with a renewed faith that we were once blind and now we see, and we're also humble enough to know that there are other blind spots in our lives. There'll be new opportunities for us to lean in and ask God for new vision, a fresh way to look at the world that God has made. And God will provide. Our God, the God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses you and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.